It's time for Mac Break Weekly. The invitations are here. We didn't get any, but the invitations are here. We have speculation galore. What is Apple going to announce 1 week hence? Mac Break Weekly regulars Renee Ritchie, Andy Iannocco, and I will dissect, analyze, deconstruct next on Mac Break Weekly.
You love
from people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 372, recorded October 15th, 2013, Unapologetically Runway. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com and use the offer code MACBREAK10. And by audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MACBREAK. And by LegalZoom.com. Visit LegalZoom for affordable legal solutions you can trust. LegalZoom's not a law firm. You can get your self-help services at your specific direction or speak to a legal plan attorney to get your questions answered and get ongoing advice. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code MBW to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show where we covered all of your Apple needs in obsessive detail. Thanks you to the New York Times' Virginia Heffernan for giving us that phrase many moons ago. Yes, we're proudly obsessive. That's why Andy Iannocco is here. He obsesses on squirrels, comic books, and the Boston Public Library.
I don't obsess. I merely pay respected elements of American society their due. And also, we're not all about everything that you need, all about everything that you want. Because if there's any brand associated with wanting as opposed to needing.
I want an Apple. Andy Iannocco doing the universal signal for Apple.
I can't make my hands do like.
You're doing the bite. Oh, that's good.
Maybe we can do like, okay, so there's the bite out, and now I've got to do something for this.
If you're listening on audio, it's or better. just imagine.
Welcome to the Twit Theater of the Air.
Also here from Wymore.com, Renee Ritchie. He's got to
throw up the gang sign.
Like, oh, Andy, I like that. That's a good one.
Not good at it.
That's good.
Hey. Yo.
Yeah. Paul.
The app store icon.
This is good. We got a new one.
Also Angstrom. So if we want to talk about wavelengths of light.
Angstrom or Apple. So, Renee, did you get an invite?
I did not. Sad trombone.
Andrew, did you get an invite?
I don't think I'm under. I should. No, I didn't get an invite. Not again.
Really? Because you got an invite to the last one, didn't you? Last month.
Well, the Motion Picture Academy is a fickle votership. sometimes they do want the historical dramas, but you know, you throw them a good feel good comedy with a Tom Hanks, and he's in there with a chance. So it's best not to try to predict.
The invitations have gone out to an October 22nd event, as they are typically 1 week exactly ahead of time. Where's the event, Renee?
Yerba Buena.
Big one.
For the arts. Yeah, bigger one, yes, absolutely.
That's the one where the iPad was announced, the iPhone. No, not the iPhone. It's a little smaller than Moscone West, which is across the street.
It's much smaller. It's like maybe a quarter the size.
Yeah. But still bigger than One Infinite Loop, the last iPhone announcement spot.
Yep, it's a factor of four every time you go up. I think the town hall is about 150. Yerba Buena, I think, is close to 500, maybe 600. And for the big room and at West Hall, they can get about 3,000 in there.
Is there anything to read into that, or is that just that's what they could get?
Nope, it's an adequate number of people to get in. It's a manageable crowd. Once you have you can only get 3,000 people in after you are either A, letting in a lot of bozos who might write really stupid and irresponsible stuff one way or another, or by simply letting the crowd come in, and then it turns into, right, you know, like the warm-up crowd at the Tonight Show. You don't want hysterical people just fainting into the aisles like
it
that.
It was the scene of my humiliation, the iPad announcement in 2010. The invitation is very sparse, as usual, cryptic. It says, we still have a lot to cover. and shows the iconic white Apple logo at the very top of it, but spilling off of it the little stem in multiple pastel colors. What do those tea leaves tell you, Renee? What does that mean?
I really try not to guess, because I was saying before the show, I think that people at Apple kind of watch the stream go by and laugh and take shots every time we guess something crazy. But it's an iPad and a Mac event, and pretty much everyone knows it's an iPad and a Mac event. So I think they say, we need an invitation. Oh, last time we did an Apple with a bunch of splotches behind it, so this time we'll do an Apple with a bunch of leaves behind it.
And I'm going to differ here, but I'll let Andy go ahead.
I'm not going to read into either. I think that the only thing that I would legitimately take away is that I really do think this is going to be a catch-all sort of event where they've got a lot of things that got announced at the same time, none of which are unless they really have a huge bombshell to drop. Yeah. And it's not like there's any one thing that would merit 1 hour in and of itself. Although I would say that by dramatically using a word that is easy for a Bostonian to pronounce incorrectly, Cava, perhaps they're announcing that they are not really backing the Red Sox for the ALCS.
We still have a lot to cover. Okay, look at it again, and I'm going to tell you exactly what this means. Well, there's two interpretations. There's the wild interpretation. It looks like the tail of the NBC peacock being shot off, which tells me that this is an Apple TV event in which they're going to take on the major television networks. This seems unlikely.
it could be a commentary on the disintegration of their once indomitable Thursday night comedy lineup.
Yeah. Yes. That's perhaps it as well. And at this point, I know in Cupertino, somebody's taking a shot.
Yes.
But I think there's the middle ground. I see a lot of color here, and I do think that given Apple's history, this to me is an indicator that one of the iPads will be an iPad C. I do believe there will be a color iPad. There's no evidence of this whatsoever, I might add. Yeah. Yeah. But it makes sense to me. What happened when the iPod had kind of reached its maturity? They split it out into the color nanos. Shuffles, I guess it was at the time. Minis. Minis. The iPad minis were the first color ones, right? iPod minis.
The Nanochromatic is the one I remember.
Yeah. I think the minis were in color.
I think you're right.
Of course, we've seen the same thing happen now with the iPhone, the burst of color with the 5C. I think they're up against a little bit of a wall because it's hard to imagine what you could do to the fourth generation iPad to make it a strong contender for new purchasers. Maybe they don't need to.
Well, the big iPad is getting a redesign, and that's usually an easy sell. So it's going to be much thinner, smaller bezel, much lighter. It's going to be the same size screen, but the whole body will be different, and people like when Apple products get a redesign. The iPad Mini, when the iPad Mini came out, the iPod Touch got the color. So the iPad Mini took the high-end space, and Apple usually reserves colors for their more popular version, not their higher-end version. And like you said, there hasn't been any case leaks for multicolored iPad Minis, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get maybe the gold and the space gray. And if they keep the old iPad mini around as sort of a lower price option, that'll probably stay the same. It's just a different problem to solve. The iPhone had to go plastic because making a transceivable material, something that radio can go through, is hard. But no one really cares about a big plastic splotch on the back of an iPad, so they don't have to make it easier to manufacture.
I predict that this is magician-style misdirection. I think they're not going to do a mini Retina, much as we all want and hope and even rumor. For the reasons you've quoted before, Renee, there's no way to do it without a kind of hit in battery life. And I don't think the laws of physics have been repealed, nor have new battery technologies been invented. So to distract us from the fact that the Mini really isn't going to have much of an upgrade, they're going to do it in color. How about that?
I don't know. Because realize that it's easy to do a gold iPhone 5S. It's easy to do a 5C in lots of garish colors because these are tiny pocketable devices. And when your canvas is suddenly this big, or God forbid this big, that means that's a lot of gold to be, parked behind in a conference room or in an airport terminal. I think they'll go to space gray. I'm not sure if they'll go to gold for either of those two devices.
Okay. I'm not saying gold. That's what Renee said. I'm saying all these colors: blue, green, purple.
The iOS 7 rainbow.
Yeah.
The other problem is that now it's of a big wide range of colors makes a lot of sense for an inexpensive device like an iPod Nano or a $99 phone. But when you have a $500 device, and now you're telling consumers that we know that you're going to really, really want two of these colors, two of them that you'll kind of accept, and there's one that will be like eating poison that you'll want to avoid. I'm not sure if Apple will want to put five different colors into the pipeline unless they know that, okay, you know, we're going to make seven of the Pepto-Bismol color. We're going to make five of the gum on the sidewalk that's been stepped on color. But we're going to make lots of blue and lots of red and lots of yellow.
Anything to the rumor that I think this was a bogus rumor that they had cut back on production of the 5C because it wasn't selling very well. I don't think that's true, is it?
So the coverage of the iPhone 5C has been interesting because it seems like most people do not understand that as a product. They look at it and they say, oh, it's just another iPhone. But my understanding is it's meant for a completely different market. It's not
colorful people, according to the ad.
Well, no, not colorful. It's meant to be a popular iPhone, which is not, it's not supposed to be less expensive. It's supposed to be popular. So it's supposed to, you know, be exciting, and it's supposed to sit on the shelf in that clear iPod-like box and be bought throughout the year. When you walk into a store and you see it, it's not supposed to be ordered the first week or lined up for it. It's a long tail play, and that's completely different for Apple. And I think that's really confused a lot of analysts.
Yeah. All right, I think I'm just speculating on this invitation. So,
it's a good one to speculate on because it's such a second tier event. Just so obviously, I mean,
Andy? I mean, last year they updated everything.
Yeah, and the new iPad was a surprise because no one was going to guess two iPads in the
too
same
soon.
Season.
Yeah,
so this is one which we kind of know by process of elimination what has not been updated yet.
Right,
but nonetheless. It's just as you're saying, what can they do to the iPad mini outside of giving it a Retina display that'll get people really, really excited about it again?
Will they do a Retina display?
They will eventually. They kind of have to because I think the slam dunk on this is that it is the only device Apple sells that runs iOS 7 and does not have a Retina display. And I know it's kind of obvious when I look back at it, but as I've been now putting iOS 7 on everything that I have, it's the only one where there's sort of a, you know, it's like a bug flying up your nose when you see iOS 7 in non-Retina proportions. So that in and of itself might make Apple, even if I'm not sure that they would go for a huge downcast in battery life, but to have the iPad mini still for sale over the Christmas season with that kind of, it's still not a bad display, but boy, does iOS 7 does not show it off to its greatest advantage. That's the point in favor of seeing Retina on the iPad mini, despite, even if it does knock 45 minutes off the battery life, maybe they could do enough savings with iOS 7 to simply say that in our testing, given that we're running iOS 7 Studly applications that have been updated to take advantage of some of the new power saving modes, we can say, yes, triumphantly, we're giving you the exact same battery life as before. I mean, all these, you know, Google is doing it okay. Amazon is doing it okay. It's going to be really, really hard for them to put this off past January.
What do you think, Renee?
No, I agree with Andy. I mean, as far as I know, they've got prototypes for new iPad minis with and without Retina. And, you know, they can make it slightly thicker like they did the iPad 3 and 4. And iOS 7 does a lot. And the new processors do a lot to help battery life. And, you know, there's no new battery technology, but Apple is really, really, really good at working around, doing everything they can, putting stuff to sleep, pushing it off to the side, making coprocessors that take load off the main CPU. They won't ship anything that gets 7 hours of battery life, but they might ship something that has, you know, 9 hours of battery life, at least as a step towards the next generation one.
I'm trying to parse that. Are they going to do it?
I
or not?
I think it's likely.
Likely.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, likely is okay. Like, you don't have to say definitively. Likely, I like. What do you say, Andy?
I would take that bet. I wouldn't. Again, if I had 10 grand for betting, I would buy a couple of Mac Pros and maybe bet only $2,000 on one Mac Pro for that, dude. iPad mini.
Let's not go crazy.
That's right. We want to get the one with 4K of RAM, right? Not the 2K of RAM. I don't think it's a slam dunk because the random factor here is that Apple is in absolutely no pressure to do anything with the iPad mini that they themselves internally do not want to do. Because they're getting a little bit more pressure from Amazon now because the Kindle Fire 7-inch HDX is getting really strong reviews and it's selling pretty well. But it's still, but the iPad Mini is still its own product with that they will have no difficulty selling in whatever quantity, no matter what they do with it. So it's not as though they absolutely have to go Retina this season. But it's going to be
pressure's
more,
on with Amazon and Google doing
the,
it.
Pressure, the pressure is on. But again, the mitigating factor is that whereas with the iPhone, you can legitimately say that on some level, the iPhone 5S is just another really, really good premium smartphone in a world in which there are at least six really good premium smartphones. There is still only one iPad Mini. There is still only one iPad. If you want a tablet computer that does real productive stuff, that does the whole gamut of stuff, there really is only one choice at this point. And so for that reason, that's the argument for them saying, we would love to have had the Retina iPad Mini ready for the holidays. It's just not ready yet. And we'd rather take the hit of a few people complaining that this is still not Retina than take the hit of everybody saying, gee, how come this is only getting 8.5 hours with a battery life? The old one got 10 hours of battery life.
And the interesting thing also is the iPad 5 is going to be much smaller. It is going to be much lighter and much smaller. It will be an iPad mini and everything but screen size. And a lot of people might look at that and say, "No, I want to watch video. I want to read comic books. Mm-hmm. I like the bigger screen." And now it's finally light enough and small enough for me to do it on that. And that could, well, that would be an attractive package.
It'll be a factor. I don't think most people are complaining. It'll still be too heavy to hold it with one hand for the duration of reading a book or watching a movie. I think most people's complaints about it aren't so much the thickness or the weight, but the size, that there is absolutely no pocket in any rational garment that you own in which you can stick a set. Again, I'm wearing my 501 pants. Oh yes, I can get that in the back pockets of some of my pants. But still, even the iPad Mini is a little bit on the big side in terms of pocketable, but at least it's manageable. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to carry some sort of large bag to carry it around in. Whereas the iPad Mini gives you that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say there is no Retina iPad Mini.
There is one. I just don't know if we'll see it in this
year.
Or the spring.
I'm obviously talking about someday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if women can survive, there will be a Retina Mini. But I'm going to go, I'm going to say this a week from today, no.
But Renee and I agree that there is... Apple has the ability to ship a Retina iPad if they wanted to this season. I'm sure they've built them. I'm sure they've figured them out. I don't think you're wrong, Leo. I'm just saying that again. It's one of those things where flip a coin 10 times. I think that 6 or 7 times out of 10, it's going to come up Retina iPad Mini. Then 3 times it's going to come up not. I'm not sure at all.
And I will point out, like, my mom is going to get one, and she wouldn't notice it was Retina or not. She doesn't care. I've mentioned it to her, and she's like, I just want the Mini because it's small.
Right.
And that's a much bigger audience for the iPad Mini than
I'm just feeling the vibe, man. I'm just feeling the vibe. I don't feel it.
You're feeling lucky. Everything on black.
Everything on black. I would. I don't feel like that's going to happen. Maybe I should buy a Mini, and then that way it would happen.
Do it, Leo.
It could be that close. It's just waiting for the little nudge.
Bellwether, yeah.
Oh, Leo bought it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I do think that's an interesting premise, though, Renee, that the new big iPad will be slimmer, noticeably slimmer and small enough that it may satisfy the urge. And that's why I think probably there isn't as much pressure to do a Retina Mini. I think they're going to do color background minis. It's going to be like the 5C. Just my thought. All right, we have there's a lot more rumors to cover, and of course we haven't talked about the other thing that they're almost certainly going to announce in 1 week, and that's the Mac Pro. We will talk about that in just a little bit. But first, a word from Squarespace. I'm thinking about stuff, but I'm going to save this for after the ad. Squarespace.com. Yes, I want to talk about Squarespace, this secret to people who are making great sites because it's the best hosting, never goes down. You cannot kill a Squarespace site by sending millions of people there. In fact, I'll do it right now. Go to our blog, inside.twit.tv. You cannot bring it down. Even if everybody watching went there right now, you cannot bring it down. That's not true for most sites. Plus, it's got the greatest software on top of it. Just fabulous. We got to update our blog, by the way, and say we're going to be doing a live coverage of next week's event. That still has the live coverage of last month's event. Go to squarespace.com. Browse around. You'll see, of course, all the great templates they have. You'll see a lot about, the hosting. You won't see a lot about the hosting. It's just kind of a given that it's got the greatest hosting. You'll see an opportunity to play with it, too. Just press that Get Started button, and you'll pick a template. There's 20 great ones. You'll customize it, and that's one of the nice things about Squarespace. So easy to customize. You don't need to be a web genius to do it, but you'll always have a unique site. Of course, if you are a developer, they've got a great developer's platform as well. And then, I think this time of year, maybe we ought to focus a little more on this, they have the great e-commerce solution. That's the newest thing at squarespace.com, a powerful, really nice, everything you need e-commerce solution. And it works with every Squarespace template, which I really like. You don't have to pick a separate template for it. You can sell physical or digital goods, music CDs or MP3s, music CDs and MP3s if you're a musician. You can sell ebooks and hardcover books or hardcover. There's no limit. Let's put it that way. There is a very nice interface for order management, for tracking orders, for customizable customer email updates. You can use it to print shipping labels. You can create coupons. It's totally global, which I love. It's available in 10 countries, including the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, Belgium, France, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Spain, and more to come. They set it up for you. They make it happen. And when you sign up for a year plan, you even get the domain name for free. I know it's all hooked up. And you got to love this. The pricing. Let's take a look at the pricing. It starts at $8 a month with the annual plan. But for commerce, a mere $24 a month, they don't take a cut. This is it. And that is a great deal for a total e-commerce solution. Nobody can come close to that. The great hosting platform, the great templates, the great design, the flexibility, unlimited bandwidth. You never get a bandwidth bill. You never go down. Unlimited blogs, unlimited galleries. It's amazing. Squarespace.com. Try it today. You don't need our offer code to try it. Just click the Get Started button. But if you do decide to buy after your two-week trial, can I ask a favor? Use the word MacBreak10, MacBreak10, because we're in October, and because you'll get 10% off. That's why the annual plan looks pretty good at this point. MacBreak10, 10% off when you decide to buy at squarespace.com. So one analyst, or no, I guess it's one website, is making crazy predictions, and I didn't include them in our rundown because they're so crazy about this event next week, including strange availability days like Wednesday. do we have any insight? Renee, you get a lot of tips. Any insight into that, into Mac Pro? They were saying the Mac Pro available mid-November.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. The iOS stuff is usually available 10 days after the event, whatever the Friday is, the second Friday after the event. The Mac Pro has less pressure because, no one has to line up to buy that. And it's not necessarily something you get someone as a Christmas present. So it's basically immune to their holiday cycle. It'll probably come out sometime around, like the same as the iMac did last year. So, later on in November.
I'm saving my pennies right now. I cannot wait to get one.
I need an Apple line of credit. I mean, they should offer that as a service.
Because we know it's going to be pricey.
Yeah.
Scooter X in our chat room says he saw Gravity in IMAX 3D yesterday, and they had two ads in it, a Windows 8 ad and an Apple Mac Pro ad, the one we've talked about before. He said the Mac Pro ad got applause, got an ovation.
It's audacious.
Scooter X must be in in L.A. or New York, somewhere where there's a lot of creative types. Please give us a Mac Pro. I'm excited about the Mac Pro. I think it sounds like a beautiful device. I don't know if it's going to be a bestseller or if it's even going to salve the wounded pride of the creative community. I'm still lobbying for, absent all evidence of this, a bundle that includes all the software. But we'll see.
It wouldn't be inappropriate, and I there is so much excitement in the 1% community, and here we're talking not the economic 1%, I mean the computational 1%.
Yeah,
the people for whom, I'm sorry, but the time progressing at the rate of 1 second per second is simply not fast enough for us. We need time to progress at 2 seconds per second. Yes. And I've not spoken to anybody in that category who had an opinion on the Mac Pro that was not hugely supportive. I mean, all these people in my Twitter stream, like all their conversations, especially now, have turned to I've got about 18 terabytes of storage. Should I convert all of them to Thunderbolt or some of them to USB 3 and some to Thunderbolt and some to SATA? And it's like they're just champing at the bit. It's like they've got all this money that they've already been priming. They've been priming themselves to throw their money at somebody for something Mac Pro related, and now they're just so horny for it right now that I need a new desk. Please take my money for a new Mac Pro desk, a new Mac Pro chair.
Do you think that's easy to do in absent of a price? And once you see a price, there may be a little bit of a slowdown on that?
Unless they go like Lisa pricing, which they're not going to do.
Yeah.
Because realize that at this, for the one percenters, it's not a case of saving up your money and having your dream computer and how it'll fit in your desk. It really is, I can convert a $5,000 computer into $20,000 more of invoices in the first 3 months. And so that is just the fastest money you can possibly spend.
I'm saving room on my desk.
And not everyone's going to buy, like, even with the last Mac Pro, not everyone bought the 12 core model with everything maxed out. There'll be a really good, second tier version of this.
Do you think so? You think they'll have a kind of a base model that's acceptable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's the home theater PC. The very expensive.
That's the I want you to know how much money I spent on this home theater PC. Like here's one example of every Batman costume actually used in every Batman movie. Here is my media room shaped like the console of the Millennium Falcon, and these are my 9 Mac Pros.
Right.
So I can switch between 9 4K streams.
Screams, you need that computer, Andy.
Exactly.
And let's not forget that the other thing that they will certainly announce is Mavericks.
Yeah.
We're already Gold Master, right? When I was gone, didn't they ship the Gold Master?
Last week.
Yeah.
So that means, what do you think on that time frame? Will they announce? I mean, that typically Apple would want to announce new computers. No, they already announced iMacs. They've just updated the MacBook Airs. So it would be the MacBook Pro. Maybe if they announced a new Mac and then the Mac Pro and
Mac Mini.
And the Mini, that's right. Are they due for an update on the Mini, a Haswell Mini?
Yep.
So what do you think on Mavericks? Next week, a month out?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was announced if it was available at the event. If not available, I'm certain we'll get a date. Usually, the last few years, they've done it right after the conference call, but this year's conference call is a couple weeks later. So
the event wanted it. The event is the 22nd. I'm going to predict that Thursday, the 24th, we will all get the little ping. Hey, you have an update. And it'll be
$20? I'd say so. 20 or 30. They're going to stick to their usual rate of, we're going to encourage everybody who has compatible hardware to install this update. So they're not going to make that a challenge.
Right.
And also I've actually read a couple of rumors that they're going to release it like late this week.
Ooh.
Which is silly. I mean,
no. Announcement.
Yeah, exactly. Cause not only an announcement, there's so many cool new features that aren't the sort of thing you can put into like a little screenshot on the website, that they really are going to want to spend a good half hour on stage demonstrating here is a core technology that makes Mavericks better than the previous edition ever was.
And what's the feedback on the Gold Master? Is everybody happy? Does it seem reliable and so forth and so on?
I know a lot of people who are actually confident enough to have installed it, not just on their test machine, but now on their daily driver. So,
yay. I'm excited.
There are always those bugs that only become visible when the user base expands from tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands / millions.
Right.
But
we saw that with iOS 7, didn't we?
Yeah, of course.
big surprises, big showstoppers.
Oh, well, that startup screen is so beautiful. It's just good that people get another opportunity to see it.
I am, by the way, week in now, loving the fingerprint reader. It works so well. I never want to enter a passcode again.
I want it on everything, Leo.
I do. And, of course, somebody has released it. HTC has announced it on the HTC One Max. which is a 5.9-inch phone, even bigger than the Galaxy Note 3, and, which if you compare it, by the way, to an iPhone already, looks like something went wrong in the steroid
looks like the
factory.
iPhone's horse.
I can't even imagine a 5.9-inch screen, but they put the fingerprint reader. It's that same kind of stripe reader you might have seen on the laptops before, and everybody's saying it's kind of crappy. It's Atrix. Atrix, yeah. Good.
It's hard to reach, and you end up swiping over the camera lens all the time, yeah. Which is not optimal.
It's just Apple did it right, and I guess that's what Apple is so good. Yeah.
They didn't do it to be a feature checkbox or to make use of a specific technology. They had a feature they wanted, and they worked out the way that they wanted to do it. And that's a very different approach, but it usually ends up making better results. Surprise.
Yeah,
absolutely. Which begs the question, would it be appropriate for them to put the fingerprint reader on the new iPads?
Yes, I wonder. Do you think?
I think so because
I want it.
On the one hand, when you have it on a, more natural fit for a phone because a phone is something you are more tactile with. I mean, you're taking it out of your pocket. Your thumb is probably there anyway. But I think that after seeing how Apple presented that feature last month, I think that that's a stronger bet for the new iPads, only because they're not simply saying, well, this makes perfect sense for a phone. They're saying that we want to help make devices more secure and easier to use. Because the iPad also uses a passcode, that means that it could also benefit from fingerprint reading too.
Does Apple, in its decisions, consider the things that many other companies have, like, well, let's see, if we do the fingerprint reader this year, what are we going to do next year? We need to keep something. Do they hold stuff back?
Only because they don't have enough resources to put it out now.
They don't do it for revenue reasons. They don't do it for cynical, we're going to hold it back so we have something for next year.
People would die if they had to try and do everything at once.
Right. Yeah,
they do it because they feel as though it's ready and they feel as though this is the right time for it. I don't feel as though there's... Given that they at this point they know they're going to get dinged even if they're the new iPad. Well, you know, it only hovers off the ground for 8 feet for only a day. I mean,
it makes espresso.
Remember when Apple used to innovate? So I mean, one of the signature features of Apple is that they've always been on their own timetable. They don't respond when they respond to the market. It's not that this guy came up with a larger screen phone. We've got to come up with a larger screen phone. For them, even there, they will respond to the size of new phones by looking at how people are interacting with these new 4.8-inch phones, these new 5.9-inch phones, and then letting that inform what they're going to do next so that they're immune to that sort of thing.
Do you think there's enough supply of these fingerprint readers to put it in the iPad?
It's not the fingerprint. You need an A7 chipset in order to have Touch ID work. So if there's an A7 chipset, and there'll probably be an A7X chipset in the iPad 5, that makes it a good candidate. I don't know what the chipset's going to be in the iPad mini because the iPad mini is currently an A5.
Right.
So its next logical chipset is the A6, which does not support Touch ID. Otherwise, they're jumping two processor generations, which is more expensive and puts higher demand on their ability to manufacture those chipsets.
So here's my prediction. Fingerprint reader in the big iPad, but not in the mini. No Retina in the mini. But you're going to have color backs. No?
We'll see if we can set you up an endorsement deal with Krylon. You can have any color back you want. Might screw up the lens a bit, but you'll get your color.
I really think it's hard. I mean, from a pure, if there is no supply constraint and there's no cost constraint, in other words, if there's nothing to hold them back from doing it from a logistics point of view, it seems like it's a must do because you really want to have that fingerprint reader across the board. I'm really tired of entering my passcode into my iPad mini now. It's annoying after using this for 1 week, after using FFIC for 1 week. So I can only imagine what that's going to feel like across the board. They got to put it in.
The iPad mini is already one of the lower margin Apple products. So my question is, if you put a Retina display in there and the technology is supported, it's expensive. If you put A7 in there and the Touch ID, it's expensive. So does Apple actually bump the price up for a Retina iPad mini with Touch ID and then leave this iPad mini, the current generation, on the market the way they did the iPad 2? So they still have a lower cost of entry model for schools and for people for whom those features are just not worth the extra money.
Also, I think that this is a good opportunity for Apple to underscore the supremacy of the full-sized iPad by saying we're going to put the A7 chip inside the full-sized iPad. That's going to get every feature, almost every feature, non-camera related that the iPhone 5S has, and that's why we're charging $500 for this, whereas other 10-inch, 9-inch tablets are going for $300 to $400. They do have to maintain the line on the iPad Mini, because if they devolve the value of that device anywhere, that's going to be not disaster, but that's going to be an opportunity for all makers of these smaller tablets that are doing, they're doing pretty okay given the supremacy of the iPad Mini.
So it sounds, I'm going to guess, just based on all of this, that really the focus is going to be on the still on the 10-inch iPad. And that the Mini, I think you're right, I think they need to keep the price down. I don't see them doing a Retina Mini. I really don't. And I don't see them putting a fingerprint reader on it. Why bother? Is the Mini that important? We've heard rumors that in the past that it's outselling the 10-inch.
Yeah, I mean,
I love my Mini. If it were Retina...
I do think it's the size that speaks to people in a way that the 9.7-inch does not.
Yeah.
It's not just the, it's the size, it's the price, it's the way that people are, it's the way that mainstream consumers are interacting with tablets these days. They're not thinking of it in terms of this big device with desktop computer style power. I mean, it's, that obviously the 9.7-inch still runs iOS and technically mobile apps, but no bones about it. It really does has have aspirations to be the desktop computer. Excuse me, the desktop power computer that we've all been wanting in the 21st century. So it really is going to be all about figuring out what it is about this device that speaks to this demographic. And I really do think that answer is iPad Mini, not full size iPad. So if one way to continue to make the iPad into an important product is to say we are not going to care about any consideration other than having equality, the best mobile processor we have access to will go into the iPad, the best features that we have access to will go into the full size iPad, we will allow ourselves not to take that hardline attitude with the iPad Mini for so many good, valid reasons, price point, size, and that sort of thing. But the full-sized iPad has to be the device that justifies a $500 to $865 price tag.
Right.
It's our most forward-looking iPad yet.
And I apologize. I'm just playing a game. It's a stupid game. We'll know in 7 days. It's just, it's not, no, but it's fun. Just, this is fun. This is why
it's
you.
It's fun. I mean, there's a reason why you don't like turn on the game, like the right. ball game, like in the middle of the sixth inning and turn right. it off as soon as you know that someone has an insurmountable odd. You turn in, you want to hear Bob Uecker. You want to hear Vin Scully. You want to hear people talk about what they think is going to happen because you're actively interested in this sort of thing. And it's
and
also,
doing this
and it's
show
also,
next week could be silly.
And it's yet another testimony to how well Apple designs its products, that we can have this sort of in both an intellectual and an emotional response to it. We actually care about what Apple is going to be releasing next week, and we're so excited about it that, you know, the three of us are willing to spend an hour talking about it and not having to blah 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 fill time. Well, okay, I'm not going to. I'll let the audience judge for that, but the audience is eager to listen to people talking about this on this and other podcasts for hours at a time. So, well done, Apple. There's no podcast about cantaloupe in which we talk about, you know, Del Monte is doing a wonderful thing with clear plastic coatings to ensure freshness from the Honduras.
Is there anything else to say about this Tuesday announcement except that we will be doing live coverage, of course, as always. That's the most fun. And by the way, our biggest audience every time. Thank you, Apple. Probably starting at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 Eastern time, 13:30 UTC, Tuesday the 22nd on twit.tv. Please join us live. And I don't know, Chad, have we even started thinking about the panel for that?
We've started thinking. We don't have anyone nailed down.
We're cogitating.
Yes.
And since neither of these two are going to be at the event.
I'll probably be available. I'm saying I can tentatively say I'll probably might be available.
Sometimes Andy sits in his jammies and live tweets it. But I haven't checked my
spam filter yet, but it's possible that I'll be available with access to high-speed broadband on Tuesday.
Do you think they'll stream it? They didn't stream last month. I don't see why they would stream.
They can't stream from Apple Campus. It's just apparently not a good experience. Oh, yeah. Okay. So the last time they were at Yerba Buena, they did stream.
They did stream it. It'd be nice if they did.
The one thing I haven't heard. Well, the one thing I would like to see is a 4K Apple display, because Retina is too hard for iMac and for Thunderbolt, but 4K still has a marketing zing to it, and it's It's understood, and it's way less pixels than Retina. And the Mac Pro happens to support three of them. So I think it, with all the talk of Apple television...
Well, they've got to do a 4K, yes.
Yeah, I think that would be my wild card for the thing that makes the geeks all very, very happy with Apple again.
And they bundle that with the software, and I'm really happy.
But wait,
then you're talking Lisa-level prices.
I definitely see them doing a 4K display to sell the total ultimate package. Consider not just for people editing 4K video, but also the idea of having in one single Final Cut window, we're going to give you full HD over here, then full HD of this other clip over here, and then big interface over there. But I think that right now, though, 4K is not a consumer-facing sort of thing yet. So I don't think they would position it as something that people would want to actually own right now.
We should point out that Mavericks does have wallpaper at 5120 by 2880.
Do they really want to do like a 0.1 update just to update, you know, the wallpaper in 8 months' time? they already don't care about the disposition of the free space on our hard drives.
Are
they
4K, do that 4K displays that? Exist. There are companies making those.
Yes.
They'll definitely, and they'll, I'm sure if you plug a 4K display into the new Mac Pro, it'll do right.
And why would Apple leave that money on the table? I mean, why would they let you buy an Asus 4K display when they could make one?
I agree. But keeping our expectations in the right place, I think they would definitely sell it as a display that sells for an ungodly amount of money, but is certainly one of the best 4K displays you can buy today.
Right.
I don't think they would say that they would sell it as a thing that anybody who cannot immediately who will hear this announcement and not immediately think, and if I spend $3,000 for that display, I can immediately do this $18,000 job that I didn't think that we had the manpower for, because now we can all manage this workflow very, very nicely. Although we haven't talked about Apple TV, though.
Yes.
I would love to see...
Next week?
I don't know. I would love to see it, though. We can talk speculatively. I mean, I've not seen anything firm about it, but there have been some fluttering rumors about... a refresh to the hardware, and there's always rumors about this. The evergreen rumor is all about new content deals, but this is also a space in which Apple is real. If they really are serious about the Apple TV, they're gonna have to just keep dumping fuel into that turbocharger and moving this device forward, because there's so much movement and competition there. And also, this is one space in which people do not have any sort of an emotional allegiance towards any device. I mean, it had to have resonated with some people inside Apple that the Chromecast, this $35 device, is just selling, even though it's not the best streaming device out there. People want to plug this device into their TVs, and they seem to be using it as well as buying it. Western Digital has a really lovely box that... they should promote better, because I had completely forgotten about it until I was asking people online. I'm taking a look at other streaming boxes. What do you like? And then I see this Western Digital box that, wow, it actually does more things than the app. It has a couple of features that I wish the Apple TV had. Amazon is another perennial rumor to be wanting to get into the set-top box business, because they have all that wonderful digital content that they want to sell you. And just like the Kindle makes it very, really greases the rails towards using all that stuff you're paying for with your Amazon Prime membership, and also to greasing the rails towards buying more stuff and getting you locked into their DRM format. So they're certainly going to be coming up with something, if not this season, certainly soon. So Apple really can't treat Apple TV like a hobby anymore. They have to treat it like a not a top tier product, but at least something that's satellite in orbit of a top tier product.
But right now, it's so still, few.
They're pulling the strings, Andy. They're pulling all the strings.
Yes, Boris Karloff.
Or the threads.
It just feels like that it's a hobby, because they sold what 13 million of them. It's not, I mean, it's tiny numbers. It's not.
Yeah, but
if it's the number, and it is by dom, it totally dominates even Roku, but it's still a tiny number for Apple
compared to like how much the iPhone sells.
Yeah.
And it seems like inside Apple, like you have like Sauron on top of the tower, and his eye is either looking at you or it's looking at something else, and right. You are left alone in the cold, in the dark.
You want the eye to look at you in this case.
If you want a big Apple TV push, you need to have that eye looking at you. And it's not clear, like, they have a 1080p Apple TV at $100. It's not clear what they're going to do because the SDK sounds like it's up on bricks in the Apple driveway. There won't be developer apps. And do you need a 4K Apple TV yet when there's no content for it? And new content deals, they're adding stuff all the time outside of events. Do they need a new chipset in it when it already handles 1080p well? I mean, unless it's too expensive to make old chipsets and they just bump it anyway.
I would guess that the stuff that WDTV does that you like, Andy, is stuff Apple will never do, like playing content.
But that's part downloaded from other sources. To me, that's part of the problem too. That all the other competing devices, they're not. It's not necessarily they've open sourced their software development kit, but it's so easy to get a new app on the Roku box. It's so easy to get to make a deal to get a device to get something that will work on Chromecast. Whereas it is a news event when we get a new thing that a new channel that works on Apple TV. Apple can't be quite so selective. I think in adding new content to the Apple TV, they really do have to make it easier for developers to create something that works great with the Apple TV. Right now, the best solution that people have is to, well, what you want to do is you want to buy an iPhone or you want to buy an iPad, and there's a number of iOS apps that will AirPlay that content. I mean, I've now totally broken myself of the habit of watching Project Runway, like even on my DVR. Now it really is. I will take my iPad into the living room. I will stream it from the Lifetime app. I don't even bother to record it anymore.
It would be my guess that the time frame is not being dictated by Apple, but by the networks, by the content deals that Apple has been for a year. We've been hearing Apple rumors about Apple trying to make these content deals, and that's the big jump on Apple TV. Was suddenly it streams live from NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, that kind of thing. I think that's what's holding it up, and I think that's what's dictating the time frame, not Apple.
I have noticed. I'm like Andy. I don't have cable anymore. I just have the apps. I have CTV and Global, all the Canadian networks. And before, you couldn't AirPlay them. You had to watch them on the device. And then one by one, they added AirPlay. So now if I want to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., until I decide it's no longer worth watching.
Worst taste in television I've ever heard.
I can put the mirror on.
I will not have you denigrate Tim Gunn. If you had that sweet, sweet man on Triangulation, your heart would grow three sizes, my friend.
Do not stand for it, Andy.
I don't know Tim Gunn, but I would like to know Tim Gunn because he's one. I believe that he's one hell of a guy.
All right, there is somebody everybody's following on Twitter. All of a sudden, Apple has or will have next year a new senior vice president of retail. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Andy Nocco's here from the Chicago Sun-Times, Project Runway lover. Also here from
Unapologetic.
Unapologetic.
Proud. Unapologetically Runway.
Tim Gunn fan. And from Montreal and iMore.com, Renee Ritchie, who's an unapologetic Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan.
I have to apologize for that. It's just not been good enough.
And that's why we trust Renee's opinions on things. He will say, you know what?
Andy and I may not agree on television, but we do agree on one thing. That's audiobooks from audible.com. We live the Audible life. And we got a special deal for you if you'd like to try it too. Audiobooks, for somebody who listens to podcasts, which I presume you do, otherwise you must have just stumbled on this show by accident. Having audiobooks on your device or in your computer, on your iPad, your iPod, your Android device is just one more great form of entertainment. And I have to say, there's such wonderful stuff on audible.com. They've added, as you know, they've added the great courses. When I was in Greece, I listened to the great courses. I listened to a college lecture series on Homer's Iliad as I was wandering Troy. That was awesome. Stuff like that is fantastic. They're adding some interesting things. Damian Lewis of Homeland is narrating an Audible short. It's free. You can get it right now, called Homeland Phantom Pain. I don't know if this is fan fiction. This is really interesting. It's an interesting move by Homeland is one of my favorite TV shows, and that one I will unapologetically back on the air. This is an interesting promotional tie-in, I would guess. So Audible's always doing new stuff. They have famous speeches on here. They have fabulous college courses on here. And, of course, best sellers, too. Great novels. I'm listening also to Inside Scientology by Janet Reitman, which is, wow, what a story that is. A great book about America's fastest growing religion. Andy, what are you listening to at Audible? We always like to hear what Andy's picks are.
I just started a few days ago. This brand new biography of Jim Henson just came out. It's called Jim Henson, The Biography by Brian J. Jones, which I think would make, I'm only about five chapters in it, I think. But I think it would make a really great companion piece to the Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs, because they're two people that you kind of think of in the same sort of category, intensely creative people who wound up having to create a huge corporate empire, but who also maintained an idea that these are the principles that got me into this business. This is what I want to achieve, not just with this company, but with my life. And it doesn't help, doesn't hurt that, you know, you grew up watching the Muppets. Right. You grew up watching Sesame Street. You transitioned into the Muppets, and now you're watching the movies. His work and the work of the people that work in the studios that he created are such a touchstone to your life. So it has the same, I wouldn't say problem, but the same sort of timeline that you have in any biography, where you have to eat your vegetables before you get to the meat and then to the dessert. So yes, you do have to spend the first. Ottumwa, Nebraska is a lonely place to grow up, especially if you're a young, sensitive, artistic kid by the name of...
and a puppeteer.
It was founded in 1922 by itinerant railway workers. Like, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it because at some point I get to find out... I get to read about script conferences for the first Muppet show, and then I get to find out about Rolf the Dog Puppet. Then I get to read about the Muppet movie. I have to read about the economic conditions about the Dust Bowl that affected his great-great-grandfather.
I wish they wouldn't do that. Immigrant. Just start in the middle.
It's okay because you are a product of your family. You are a product of the place that you grew up in. There are a lot of bad biographies that go too far about that. I mean, there's the Rosebud syndrome, where, you know, somewhere in some interview, some cousin mentioned that at some picnic when he was eight, he happened to have a baseball cap, and they want to. But it turns out that green felt baseball cap would become the fixation of his entire... No, it was just a green baseball cap.
Well, this is something that even modern novelists could learn from Homer. You start in media res, in the middle of things. You know, start at the good stuff. Anyway, I'm sure it's going to be great, and I'm absolutely downloading and listening. Frank Oz said it was great. I mean, here's a guy who really knows...
That's why this is an important biography, because it really... I'm not sure if it was, you would call it an authorized biography, but he got interviews with Henson's widow, and then now she's gone. A bunch of other key personnel who are no longer with us. He managed to talk to everybody that would be important to talk to. So you don't get the same perspective that like a McCullough biography of Harry Truman gets, you know, 50 years later when everybody's either dead or has no reason not to speak candidly. But in terms of a broadly encompassing story of one person's life, informed by people who knew him very, very well, as opposed to people who just, you know, grew up watching him. I think this is a great book. It really is quite entertaining.
I can't wait.
The four or five chapters I've read so far.
21 hours, too. It's a nice long. I like long books in Audible.
You get some value.
You get your value for your dollar. So you could get this for free. Actually, you can get almost any of their books. Over 150,000 titles on audible.com. Absolutely free. Here's the deal. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. You'll be signing up for the gold account. That's the book a month subscription. But your first 30 days, free. Your first book, free. Cancel any time in that first 30 days. You won't have to pay a penny. But I do like it. They let you keep the book. It's yours forever. As with all Audible books, it becomes part of your library. I have over 500 books now in my Audible library. I love it. I wish, though, that I got to, like, make a fake binding to put on the wall in my on my bookshelves, so because it looks like I don't read books anymore.
What they should at least do is, like, after you've, like, been a member for, like, let's say 1 year, they mail you like a can of, like, Febreze or aerosol spray that makes your whatever room in your house smell like leather binding.
There you
and,
go,
like, mahogany bookshelves.
There you go.
So at least people know that you're one of them classy sons of bitches.
It looks like I stopped reading in 2001 when I started becoming an Audible subscriber. I've read lots of books since then.
I know.
50 books a year since then, but
I don't get credit for it. Exactly. I would subscribe to this if Amazon had this. Amazon and Audible is an Amazon company, but if they had some sort of thing where just, like, they will mail you like a cloth merit badge type of patch every time that you can prove that you read to the end of every Kindle book and listened to the end of an Audible.
Yeah.
I could at least like wear like that sash and keep sewing these buttons on.
Yes, they do in the Audible app. They have badges now, so it's kind
of
like
I watch a lot of reality television, but hey, you know, I haven't forgotten how to read.
Yeah, see? I still
catcher
read.
In the Rye. You see that? You got to have some brain ecological stuff up here in order to get Catcher in the Rye.
You can, and thank you, Spider, who just sent me a link to a website, booksbythefoot.com, where you just buy your books. You don't have to read them by the foot and just fill up your bookshelf as if. I don't think there is such a thing.
That's classy with a capital Q right there.
I'll have 8 feet of books, please.
Think of how many gin and whiskey bottles you can hide behind those books on the bookshelf. There's usually an air gap.
4K display with your Audible library, Leo.
Look at this. We can do any color, any subject, any age, any size, starting at $4.99. This is not fake.
The job of being a novelist just got even more thankless.
It comes in points.
Can I have a bunch of blue books? This is depressing. If you've ever written a book as I have, this is where your book ends up, and that's the sad thing. Sold by the foot.
That's the best way to insult someone at the Apple store is to walk in and be really excited about buying a blue iPhone 5C. And when they ask you why, you say, oh, well, I've been an Android user all along, but, you know, blue really, really doesn't play with any of my suits. Black and white don't play with my suits.
This is nice. This is 7.5 to 9.5 inches. Very good new condition. 11 to 16 books per foot. You have to order 6 feet. They're $7 a foot. So I could order, well, that's pretty good. I could order 10 feet. For $70 of paperbacks.
Do they make sure there's no Danielle Steele in there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can do it. You can have bestsellers, not bestsellers. You can have vintage
only early
books.
Tom Clancy. None of the Tom Clancy with co-author books.
Yes.
There's a lot of checkboxes that have to go through.
Yeah. Audible.com/MacBreak. They should do a deal with Books by the Foot somehow. You know, like you get a free foot for every 5 books you read. Continuing on, we have, boy, this has been a saga, the VP or Senior Vice President of Retail for Apple. Ron Johnson did a very good job, went to JCPenney's and tanked it. Then they brought in a guy from Dixon's, which was what? Dixon's was like a budget, like a five and dime or something in Britain.
Yeah.
He didn't do so good.
Nope. Tom Browett.
Tom, yeah, and he's gone, right?
Yep.
He didn't last long.
He got the footnote in the Forrestal is fired press release, which is not an auspicious
That's a very bad thing, to be a footnote in the Forrestal. Oh, and by the way, that guy we hired from Dixie's gone too.
Yeah.
So tell us about this. She is the former CEO of Burberry.
Not BlackBerry, Leo. Burberry. People are making a lot of mistakes out there.
Oh, you really wouldn't want to hire the former. Her name is Angela Arendt. Burberry is the raincoat company, right? They have that famous plaid, the Burberry plaid. You see the scarf. Then you know somebody is really very with it and hip.
Tartan.
Apparently, this British luxury fashion company, Burberry, is a very good proving ground for future Apple executives. It's a big deal, though. I mean, she made, I think somebody said she made £15.9 million last year as CEO of Burberry. So Apple's has to be offering her more than $20 million a year for this job, unless she just, you know, felt like it was such a good opportunity.
Do you really want to sell tartan for the rest of your life, Leo, or do you want to go to Apple?
You want to change the world? Maybe she'd prefer to live in Cupertino than London. I don't know. Although, having been to Cupertino, I can't understand that.
She's American.
Oh, she's American?
She's American.
Oh, all right.
She's coming home.
She was at Liz Claiborne and Donna Karan International. She knows retail for sure.
She's admired Apple for a long time.
She, according to the New York Times, transformed Burberry from stale and stodgy to sexy and chic.
Yeah, and a lot of the coverage is also. I wasn't very aware of Burberry. Not enough of their coats to wind up in the Salvation Army, so I'm not very familiar with them.
You're not in a boy band, Andy, so it's forgivable.
I love Burberry, by the way. I have Burberry coats and scarves.
I'm sure it's lovely. The most awful, awful thing to do to a wonderfully made coat or a wonderfully made garment is to have me wear it and then see what I do with it. That's not a good thing. But reading, obviously, with lots of coverage written about her over the past week, and all of it really crediting her for not, again, taking a brand that was makers of like Tweedy kind of like middle of the road coats and making it into a luxury brand, but also leveraging that into a chain of retail stores, into online merchandising marketing. The more you read about what she has done, the more you think, oh, okay, so clearly this was her like warming up her arm in Pawtucket before being called up to Fenway Park for postseason play. It just seems like such an effort.
Now called up from the Toledo Mud Hens, Angela Arendts, batting left.
Interesting.
You know what it tells me that I find is very interesting is that Apple is now really, I mean, look, this is the second big fashion executive Apple has hired. I think they're correct. The iPhone, the iPad, these are the same kind of market as fashion.
The interesting thing is she's getting online as well as retail, where Ron Johnson and Bauer both only had retail. So they're giving her a much bigger portfolio of products to oversee. And yes, they got the guy from Yves Saint Laurent. They got the guy making shoes from Nike. They've gotten her. Chances are this is not just to have a better spring line at the company store in Cupertino. They really do want to pay attention to
According
fashion.
to CNN Money, she was the highest paid CEO in the UK, made $26.3 million last year. So Apple's got to be offering her a pretty sweet package, probably a lot of stock, I would guess.
I bet that most of it really is about the challenge, about because if honestly, if you pay me 16 million pounds for 1 year of work, you're going to get 1 year of work out of me, and then I'm gone. Well, you cannot pay me another pound more to work for another day after that. If I've got 17 million pounds,
that's a good point. You've got plenty of money.
So it really had to have been I can take credit for having done wonderful things at Burberry, and now here is a chance to continue my work with one of the with a brand that's even larger and even more important than the one I'm leaving.
Well, also interesting, Fortune named her one of the 50 most powerful women in business in 2007, 2008, and 2011. So, and she is now not just an SVP at Apple, but a member of the executive team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and also, I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple interesting things about that. I mean, for one, it does point out the how unusual Apple's corporate structure is, because she is leaving as the top dog at a very important company and becoming a vice president of Apple. And there are lesser executives who would say, I can't accept the title of vice president. That's not important. But also, when you go to to Apple's PR page, it shows you, here is our executive team. It's nice to see someone, a woman, not a dude.
Yeah,
she is eminently qualified. It's a distraction to say that we need more diversity. But when the right person for the job makes that gallery of portraits more diverse, you can only be happy of that result.
This is also, it's like Marissa Meyer taking the head of Yahoo. This is also a troubled position. I mean, after Ron Johnson left, not only John Browett, I forgot about this, but Jerry McDougal was also in there. It has been a tough position for Apple to fill. So that challenge is real. That challenge is, look, this is very important to Apple's bottom line. The Apple stores are huge. And if you include iTunes, which they have, I would guess this is, you're talking about a significant portion of Apple's total revenue.
One of the biggest retailers in the world.
Yeah.
But it's not like Yahoo. I mean, the retail has been doing extremely well, whether in electrons or bricks and mortar. So
It's not troubled.
It wouldn't be irresponsible to think that it really is a case of not everybody can work inside of Apple. Not everybody can really harmonize within that corporate structure. So it's not just the skills that you bring and the successes in your track record. It's also what personal skills do you have, and are they compatible with the way that Apple likes to run its business?
It also means I'm going to have to very much more carefully read Apple's press releases, because as Ina Fried pointed out in All Things D last month, Apple announced that Burberry and Apple would use iPhone 5Ss to capture the Burberry runway show.
Yeah, that's interesting.
A month ago. So maybe if we'd read this closely.
I saw that, but I did not make that connection. Again, I don't pay close attention to brands like that. But this isn't that interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's another
thing to ask yourself. Do you think that we're going to see her at next week's event or a subsequent event? Are they still going to have Tim Cook talk about retail, or are they going to?
Well,
say
she doesn't start till spring.
Okay,
I would love it if they brought her up on stage and said, "Hey, by the way."
Traditionally, that's what Tim Cook has done in the first act of every
retail.
Event they do.
Yeah,
but wouldn't that be interesting to simply say, "Great, we've got this high profile person. We want to make sure that we have a face to our leadership on retail, and why should she be the one of only five people in that portrait gallery that doesn't have to be miserable for the 2 weeks leading up to that day? Let her have to rehearse for 2 weeks too."
There's also an interesting question Waskell raises in our chat room. If Aarons has digital as well, what does that mean for Eddie Q, who's been in charge of internet services?
He's services. So in terms of everything else, Eddie Q does back end and someone else does the front end. Craig Federighi does he does OS 10 and iOS, and Eddie Q provides all the services behind it. So he's still going to do the iTunes. He's still going to do iCloud. He's going to do all of that stuff. This is just going to be like the retail front face of Apple Online and Apple storefronts.
Apple has a woman on its board, Andrea Young. But that would be another thing to think about. Maybe put her on the board as well. I don't know. Given all the heat that Twitter is getting for not having any women on the board or in upper management.
Apple. I mean, it's an interesting challenge because they are so successful. The question becomes, what do you do next? Because if you have someone who's brought them to this level, quite often that's the logical endpoint for that person.
Right.
And you need someone else with a different set of skills to take you to whatever the next level is. And it's not clear, like, how could Apple Retail do better? And that's going to be the question she has to answer.
Yeah. You have an article on iMore.com by Joseph Keller saying Tim Cook explains why he hired the wicked smart Angela Aarons and how she'll help move Apple forward.
See, another Boston euphemism. I don't know why they're needling us like this.
Wicked smart.
Wicked smart. Holy mother of God. Like a freaking whip, this one.
That links to 9 to 5 Mac. That was Mark Gurman's scoop.
Gurman's got it, as usual. Yeah. Gurman's good. Wow.
Yeah.
This is the memo, that he sent out to, that Tim Cook sent out to Apple
employees. To explain his decision-making process. Including Wicked Smart, Andy.
Wicked Smart. I've wanted one person to lead both digital and retail for some time, says Cook, because I believe it will better serve our customers, but I had never met anyone whom I felt confident could lead both until I met Angela. We met for the first time last January. I knew in that meeting that I wanted her to join Apple. We've gotten to know each other over the past several months, and I've left each conversation even more impressed. Wow. It's nice to have that kind of confidence from the CEO. She shares our values and our focus on innovation. She places the same strong emphasis as we do on the customer experience. I doubt he wrote this memo for Browett.
He had some nice things to say about Browett. He said he's the only guy for the job, so in hindsight.
Okay, we've heard this before. She cares deeply about people, embraces our view that the most important resource in our soul is our people. She believes blah, blah, blah.
Just watch some, like, what do you think is the most anti-Apple reliably, like, website or reporter out there? Because he or she is going to latch onto that quote and say, you know, Tim Cook confirmed that they only started looking at women after they had gone through every last male they could possibly try. He is the last and best male for the job. And now they start looking at
women. Now we can look at women.
It's hard to look in that FaceTime view of your own twisted image, isn't it, Apple?
Ron Johnson told Bloomberg TV she's a terrific choice and will be exceptionally well received. So she's also got approval from her predecessor.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, though. I really think the most telling thing is that Apple's looking at the fashion world to bring in people. I mean, really says what's happened in the tech world. It used to be specs, speeds, and feeds. We're faster, we're better, we're easier to use, we're the computer for the rest of us. Now it's fashion.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's...
That's not a negative. It just means it's mature.
Apple understands technology. They may not understand that part of retail.
Right.
I really think it's that when you look at this executive's history, you think that if Apple's headhunters are any good at all, man, she would be one of the first people you want to bring in. If you can get this person who has built from the ground up a business that Apple is already thriving in.
Right.
Now it's going to be a case of let's introduce her to the people that she's going to be working with and see if it's a good fit. I think I certainly don't think it was a bad thing that it's also a high profile, you know, fashionable brand. But man, if the oil industry had someone, if they sold like oil spills online, and an executive was able to sell it as successfully as she was able to sell coats, skirts, belts, and other things, I think that they'd get an interview as well.
Over the counter diesel.
You mean diesel as the product brand, not the motor fuel.
The motor oil in Andy's world where they have the Exxon guy.
You made petroleum lubricants sexy again by producing them in 5 exotic colors.
Apple has got the iPhone ship date down to 2 to 3 weeks for the 5S. I think you can still walk in and get a 5C, right? Because that's easier to produce. Not because they're not selling it. I think this is important to point out. But because it's the 5, so they know how to make it.
Yeah, it's even easier to make than the 5. Which
right, because it's plastic on the back. So 2 to 3 weeks if you want to get one. They're giving a mid-November delivery dates. All Things D says the 5S is outselling the 5C 2-to-1. I don't know where they get the info from. Do you feel that's accurate?
If it wasn't, the 5S would have been a failed product. And if it is, yeah, the 5C is underwhelmed. I mean, it's a damned if you do, damned right, if you don't. But the 5S was designed to be sold to a bunch of people on launch day and to be that big Apple, you know, mega blockbuster product. And the 5C is designed to be something sold for the rest of the year. So
this analysis totally comes exactly from right, the Consumer Intelligence Research Partners, or SERP. I have to think that really the number you want to look at is total sales. And what you hope is that it's not a zero-sum game, but that, in fact, the 5C brings more people to the market, and so your total sales are up.
And the 5C so far is helping to displace the Galaxy S4 as exactly, a number 2 smartphone on some yeah, pairs. So you want to see how it affects...
It's not cannibalizing the 5C, yeah, 5S, it's cannibalizing the S4. That's what you yeah, want.
I think in some ways it is targeting the we-don't-care market. Meaning that we don't care that the 5S has a super hot processor. Right. We don't care that the camera is better. We don't care that it has the fingerprint control. We came in to spend a X amount of dollars for a really cool phone. And if this one has really cool, smart, sharp colors and this one does not, that will be good enough for us to a reason why we'll pick this one instead of the other one.
Have any of you been able to reproduce the blue screen of death on your 5S?
Yes. No.
Really?
Well, our security writer, Nick Arnott, managed to do it repeatedly.
The story was, if you're using iWork and you're, what, saving to the cloud or something?
You can also do it with Xcode if you're a developer and you're pushing stuff to Xcode.
Well, that's, you know, I wouldn't. That's a so what, because that's not normal users.
No human is using
Xcode. No human is doing that. But if it's doing it in iWork, that's a big deal. And I think it's a little funny that that's the blue screen of death.
Especially on apps that now they're giving away for free.
Right. So is there a reproducible way I can do this right now?
I'd have to look it up. I mean, that's a part of the subsystem that you should just never be able to see. And I think it just speaks to how tight the deadlines were on iOS 7 from when right, they decided in November to spin around on a dime and to when they shipped it, that code is allowed to seep through to humanity.
All right. So, and presumably that'll be fixed at some point. Yeah. We are at 7.02, the second patch on the iPhone already of iOS 7.
And it wouldn't be surprising to have 7.1 launch maybe with new iPads or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good time to fix that. I haven't had it. I have had a lot of reboots, though. And I have noticed that iOS 7 is still a little bit flaky. Maybe because I was copying a lot of data over to my 5S, but it was rebooting kind of a lot.
They want to show off those new color-matched reboot screens, Leo.
It's been pretty reliable ever since, though. I mean, you know, that was me trying to... Oh, here we go. Here's a blue screen of death video. So he's going into Pages. He's launching a document. He's messing with it. Okay. And then saving it, exiting out to the home screen. Oh, blue screen of death. Oh, wow, that hurts. You know what? I think I have gotten some of those. Just not lately. Is it possible they fixed some of that with 7.02, or is Nick still getting it?
I think I don't believe it's been fixed yet.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I don't believe so.
Paste. Exit out.
He actually used speak. So you have to go into general... settings under accessibility, turn on dictation, speak it.
Ah, okay. Well, I don't have that turned on. Maybe that's why. All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we take a break and go to our picks of the week? Oh, newsstand. I thought this was from Marco. How do you pronounce his last name? Karppinen. The final straw for newsstand. He does digital magazines for Richie, and he makes some, I think, a good point. He says apps in newsstand get 8 unique behaviors. The apps listed in the newsstand section of the app store, in addition to another section of your choosing. Once downloaded, newsstand publications are inside the newsstand app. That could be a pro or con. Newsstand apps represented by a cover instead of an icon. You don't have to design an icon. Your latest edition cover, even though it's so small you can barely read it, but that's still, I can tell I'm looking at the New York Times versus the New Yorker. Publishers can update the screenshots of newsstand apps without submitting a new binary. That's nice. Newsstand app descriptions are an Atom feed, so it can be updated without Apple's approval. Newsstand apps can, once a day, perform automatic background downloads of content. That's less important because iOS 7 does that now for all apps. And in-app subscriptions and newsstand apps can include free trial periods. But he says there's a problem. Basically, newsstand, because it has its own icon, really hides what's in there. And he's making recommendation to his clients, not if you're a publication and you want to, be on the iPhone, not to use newsstand, but in fact to do a standalone app, because the one big feature, the auto update, is now global, and the fact that newsstand apps are hidden away is, he says, a big negative. You guys agree?
You still get auto-renewed subscriptions with newsstand, but that sometimes causes more customer service problems than not having them. And I've heard many people who have newsstand apps say that if they could do it again, they would go as an app.
And that's a sad thing because you can't go back. You have to...
There's mixed replies on that. It'll have to take someone really trying hard to escape.
Newsstand, like once you check in, you can't check out.
I wouldn't be surprised if Newsstand, I don't believe it's getting a lot of attention anymore inside Apple either. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something that is reinvented.
I'm just looking and I can't even find where I put Newsstand on my iPhone. But I don't use Newsstand a lot because I use it on the iPad. But there aren't the publications that have been up to now available on the iPhone haven't been. I can't figure out where I put it.
Use Spotlight search, Leo.
I know. I'll have to do that. N-E-W. Oh, that's me. See, this is why I don't do that, by the way, is my fingers are so big. I keep typing M instead of N. It's like it's just painful. N-E-W-S. I don't have it. Is it possible not?
It does because it's a folder. Yeah, I don't know if it'll search. It's a folder.
No, it's got to find it. Come on.
Trying mine.
New, it doesn't find it. Well, that's another big problem.
No, it doesn't find it. It's not an app. It's
I have no idea where it's gone. It's somewhere. I have to search through my folders now. Where did I put it?
If someone can guess the exact location of Leo's news.
Maybe I put it in food. I don't know. I can't find it anymore. Books. Guess
how many app icons in the jar?
It's not news, which is where I would think I would. Oh, there it is. There it is. I see it. See, that's the other problem. That is a stinky icon. What the hell is that? And then I only have the New York Times in here. But it's nice because the New York Times can auto, now I can get alerts from him and stuff like that. I don't know.
It's a well-done iOS 7 app.
Oh, I haven't turned that on. Yeah. I like New York Times. Yeah, they've updated it for iOS 7 in some very nice ways. But do you think they regret it being part of the newsstand app?
No comment.
We'll have to ask Arthur Oakes Salzberger. I do have kielbasa fingers. They're just too big. iOS 7 has been jailbroken. iOS 7.02 has been jailbroken. It takes no time, does it?
Nope.
And what do you think of this? We'll wrap up with this. A rumor now that the iWatch is less a smartphone companion like this watch that I'm wearing, the Galaxy Gear watch, and more, and less maybe even of a health thing and more of a home automation play. That's according to Cantor Fitzgerald's Brian White. Does that make any sense at all? No.
Not to me. Absent devices that Apple will then ship.
right,
that will enable home automation.
Well, maybe the Apple TV would be one. What if you could control the Apple TV from an iWatch?
But I can do that with my iPhone, and that's not a home automation play. Yeah,
right. I think that it'll be as unlike the Galaxy Gear as the iPad was from netbooks. I really think that the main goal of it was going to be wearable sensors that can then feed into apps that are running on iOS and macOS devices, as well as announce your presence to any other Apple devices that you have in the neighborhood. I think we are going to see something more similar to a Nike Fuel Band or a Fitbit than something that has a screen that has to be updated 30 times a second.
Yeah, I have to admit, this, when I read this, I thought this guy must not know what he's talking about, because if you don't have an ecosystem of home automation devices, it makes no sense to do that.
His job is to move the stock, Leo, not to inform the readership.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah, that.
Home automation is another application of how good that kind of a wearable device would be, to simply have lights turn on and off and follow me around the house. Yeah. And simply know that, okay, he left the bedroom about 20 minutes ago. He has been inside the living room for the past 15 minutes. Let's take a chance and just turn off that light on the nightstand, because he's probably not going to be back for another few hours.
I mean, iOS is definitely a home automation play, because you can control a bunch of things in your home. And iOS in the car gives us a hint that Apple, you know, may one day explore putting iOS interfaces in a way that you can project to your fridge or to your
watch for any of that. No. The phone already does it.
Absolutely. And any iOS device, including a mythical watch, could do that. Right. So, I mean, like, the Tony Stark house is the dream, and it takes a while to get there.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, your picks of the week, my friends, get them prepared. Polish them up to a fine sheen. Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. Not a law firm, but better. LegalZoom, at a very affordable cost, lets you do that legal paperwork that you need to do that you don't need a lawyer for. And there's a lot of it. I think LegalZoom is great for entrepreneurs. It really empowers entrepreneurs, as it did us. Because when you want to start a business, one of the first things you really need to do is protect it and yourself by incorporating or setting up, as we did, an LLC. LLCs are great. $99 to set up an LLC with LegalZoom.com. You want to do a Chapter S or C Corp, it's also $99 plus the filing fees. You could do trademarks at LegalZoom.com. You could do patent applications, DBAs. You could even set up a nonprofit through LegalZoom.com. And if you're setting up a nonprofit, the last thing you want to do is pay thousands of dollars to an attorney. Now, the good news is you can get advice and help from an attorney at a fixed rate, pre-negotiated, with attorneys in your state. You could choose the attorney based on not only their profile, but unedited user reviews. LegalZoom isn't a law firm. They provide self-help services at your specific direction. Or, as I said, they'll connect you with an attorney, which is great at a very affordable price. Visit LegalZoom.com. Start that business. Or, you know, they also have home stuff like wills and trusts. If you haven't made a will, this is a great place to do it. Starts at $69. I love LegalZoom, and I use them a lot, and I encourage you to do the same. In fact, we've arranged a $10 discount for you if you use our offer code MBW at LegalZoom.com. On checkout, use MBW, and that means you can set up your LLC for even less, for $89. LegalZoom.com. We thank them so much for their support of Mac Break Weekly and for their support of new businesses and entrepreneurs everywhere. I think that's a great cause. Let us talk to Andy Iannocco, because he has prepared, by inserting into his ear, his pick of the week. Can you hear me, Andy?
No, because I neglected to bring in the pick of the week, and I had to leave the podcasting chair of destiny, and I muted the microphone.
Are you wearing your pick of the week now?
I'm wearing the pick of the week right now. This is a... I'm not using them right now, so I'm going to have to do some bycasting here. These are...
Wait a minute. Underneath those headphones, Andy has headphones.
Yes. These are the Aftershock Sports M2 open headphones.
These are wild. I have these as well. Yeah.
Which I hope you can sort of see the way that's working right now. I'm not wearing them incorrectly. What they are they have these transducers that go... that basically fit underneath your ear, but not inside your ear. Which has the really, really nice effect of allowing you to listen to podcasts, allow you to listen to alerts from your phone, allowing to even listen to music, but still have really a sound awareness of your environment around you. Because this is, after wearing Google Glass for a while, I realized that one of the things I really liked about it was the fact that I can get alerts and get information from my phone while still taking a walk down the street and being able to hear birds around me, of course, hear traffic around me. If someone wants to get my attention, they don't have to, you know, motion for me to yank my earbuds out of my ears. And also, they're likely to be more comfortable for people who don't like to have these hard plastic earbuds inside your ears all the time. They only have a couple of limitations. They really do work as advertised. The sound is surprisingly good, given that you don't have something actually stuck inside your ears. It is actually good for music as well as for audiobooks and podcasts, although you have to accept a certain, you know, lack of bass, not as much bass as you would get from like a nice silicone earbud. Also, it's not going to work in any situation in which you want sound isolation, because remember, the whole point of this is to not isolate you from your environment around you. So if you are like if you like to take walks next to really loud, high traffic, busy streets, the car noises are probably going to overwhelm the whatever music or whatever sounds you're listening to. Also, it's a little bit open, but it's not enclosed, so that if this is not going to be something I would choose to wear if I'm sitting next to someone 12 inches away on a flight for 6 hours, because they're probably going to be able to hear some of what you're listening to. It's not as bad as some of those people on the subway who are wearing earbuds that are like loudspeaker designs, so you can hear every syllable that's being spoken or that's being sung there. But still, it's not silent the way that earbuds can be silent. But again, if you're often in situations where you would like to be able to listen to a podcast, but you still want to have some awareness of the natural sounds that are around you, these work very, very well. The models, the Sports M2, they're weatherproof. They also have a built-in microphone so that you can use them as a phone headset, and they work very, very well. They're not too expensive, $69, I think, for this model. They also have a Bluetooth version that's completely wireless.
I like them because I sweat.
$69.
I like them because I sweat when I'm at the gym, and it's nice to not get I've ruined earbuds by sweating into them. So this is better. Bone conduction. You know, Chad just ran over to show me. He has a Kyocera smartphone. He's reviewing it next week on Before You Buy that has bone conductance too instead of speakers. But that would mean, Chad, you have to press the phone against your head
when you
get a call?
You put it right where you normally would with a phone, and it just works like normal. This is
you know what I like? Because then those idiots, do you see this a lot? I see this all the time, who walk down the street with the phone on speakerphone.
Yes.
Holding their phone in front of me. Yes, I know. It's terrible. Aunt Maud's got the worst shingles. And then they're going down the street, and then you hear the other end because it's on. What is wrong with those people?
They think that I Am Legend, that the last human left on Earth.
Well, at least
my favorite is when they speak to the screen.
Yeah.
The mic is down here. You can't talk to the phone this way. It doesn't really work.
But I don't understand why they're doing that. Is it a thing?
They're crazy, Leo.
No, because it's very common. I see it all the time.
Well, at least we've seen, like, the now that cell phones, digital plans are out there. We've lost those. Like, remember those phones used to have those digital walkie-talkie features?
That's what it is.
Like push to talk.
That's what it is. They think they're using a Nextel phone.
And you'd be in a restaurant, and it's not just like having to listen to someone else's conversation, but brrr,
yeah, that's then, the worst okay, part.
So,
that ring.
So what did he send then? Brrr,
yeah.
Brrr, 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 brrr. Well, I think you should just leave him. Brrr, well, I. Brrr, 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 Hello, this is
somebody just explained it to me. Somebody just explained it to me, and you're absolutely right. It started with reality TV. If you're watching the Kardashians, they have to always do that so that the camera can hear the conversation, and that became fashionable. So blame The Apprentice. Blame Meet the Kardashians or whatever the hell it's called.
Project Runway.
I will not blame Project Runway for anything other than making the world understand that an A-line dress with an empire waist is just a sin against God.
I think that's it. They watch too much reality television. They think that's how you use a phone, not understanding the reason Kim Kardashian does it is so the cameras can pick up the audio. Or maybe they're just stupid.
I don't know.
Or maybe both.
He's the nicest fellow.
Does Tim Gunn do that?
When he used his Tim Gunn save this week, yes, I teared up a little bit because it was a very, very caring and touching moment.
Renee Ritchie, iMore.com. Your pick of the week, my friend.
My pick of the week is the newly updated for iOS 7 Launch Center Pro. It is a Launch Center. Apple does not allow intents or contracts like you have on Android or Windows Phone. So you can't just exchange information between apps, nor do they let you reset the default apps like you can do on Android. So this is by David Barnard. And a year or so ago, he figured out that you could use these URL schemes, these little links that Apple does let you send, to actually not only open apps, but perform actions. So for example, instead of hitting the Safari button and then typing in a web address, you could have a link that opens up Safari and goes to the same web page, or opens up the phone and places a call to your mom or your wife or your husband or whomever to text message. Or, and this whole scheme evolved called your X callbacks and URL schemes. So you can actually, it's nowhere near as good as a system level service, but it lets you do far more than you could do with your iPhone alone and by itself. So with this, for example, you can launch actions. You can set up any of a dozen of different things, and the app makes it really easy to add new actions. And if you put it on your dock, you're then only two, you know, taps away from a wide range of common tasks, adding something to OmniFocus. Or we made the iMore app work with it, so you can open Launch Center Pro and hit the iMore app icon and go to different places. And it really provides a service. It fills up a gap in Apple's operating system that they're so far, you know, not ready to do. It just works. It's one of those great services, and he's continuously updating it and putting in new URLs and new schemes. And when other apps come out, they can add Launch Center Pro support. So again, not as great as a built-in service like contracts or intents, but way better than what you get on iOS without it.
Awesome. What's the name again?
Launch Center Pro.
Launch Center Pro. How much? $4.99. That's what
$5.
I see. Yeah.
And people who complain about apps still costing money, again, that's the price of a nice coffee beverage that you will enjoy for 3 minutes. And this app you get to use day in, day out for a year.
That is one of the stories we didn't cover. We talked a little bit about it on iPad today, but the end of the paid app, which I bemoan because I think you ought to pay for apps, and I really hate this freemium model.
It sounds like Apple's data does not back up those assertions.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I got a free app that is free, will always be free, but it's an interesting business model. It's actually, I think Sarah turned me on to this. When I was traveling, I knew I needed to learn a little, brush up my Italian. I downloaded Duolingo. Do you guys know about Duolingo?
Fantastic.
Isn't it amazing? So it's free, and the business model is interesting. Created by a Carnegie Mellon professor, you can learn a variety of languages absolutely free, and they have a great learning model. It's a game. It's kind of gamified. So I'm learning Spanish now because so select the apple. Well, obviously there's a picture of an apple. So you pick it. Let me just so you can hear this.
La manzana.
It's got a nice little voice. I check. You got a little ooh, bing, bing, bing. You are correct. And then you can move on. You start putting together sentences and so forth. You're learning verb conjugation here in a painless way. I just think it's a really nice app. But here's the interesting thing. The way they're paying for this app was created by, as I said, a Carnegie Mellon professor, the guy who created ReCAPTCHA. You crowdsource, it's using Duolingo and Duolingo users to crowdsource translations. And the paying customers who pay for these translations pay for the language lessons. Right now, Spanish, French, German, Portuguese, Brazilian style, and Italian, as well for English speakers, as well as English for Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Italian speakers. It's really a clever idea. Read the Wikipedia article to understand why it's a profitable to give away a free app like this. And I found it really fun just to play a little bit each day. And you learn. It's you're not going to be fluent, or maybe you are. I haven't gotten far enough. But you're certainly going to get enough to be able to talk. Duolingo. You like it, Renee?
My 7-year-old godson is using it to learn Italian because his paternal grandparents both speak Italian and they can say very little to each other on the phone. And he's been using this just for a couple months and he's already saying, you know, sentences and things. And
it's amazing. It's fun.
It's accessible to children of that age. And that to me is spectacular.
It's just really fun. And by the way, BuzzFeed is using it. They're paying them for translations of the BuzzFeed articles It's really clever. They also, I think they're on the web and on other platforms, but they have a iPhone and iPad version. Duolingo.com. See, there's free, but an interesting business model that makes free really not. I mean, it's free to you, but they make money too, which is
perfect. It's an optimistic kind of free.
Yeah, I like it. Really like it. Renee Ritchie is at imore.com. You guys got to come back in a week. I don't know how we're going to do Mac Break Weekly. I guess we'll do as we usually do. We'll do live coverage starting at 9:30 of the event, presuming the event starts at 10, which I'm sure it will. Does it say on the invite?
10,
no,
think.
But I believe Dalrymple said 10 o'clock.
Yeah. That's Pacific time, of course. So we're talking the event starts at 1700 UTC. Live coverage for the event, and then we'll do a Mac Break Weekly immediately after, in which we kind of summarize what happened. I think last year's October event was massive. They refreshed every product except the iPhone. I don't know if we're going to see something like that, but it's going to be exciting. And as you could tell from our conversation, there could be some surprises. Andy and Renee, I hope you'll be here for that. If not, certainly for Mac Break Weekly immediately after. Andy Anacco at the Chicago Sun-Times.
Indeed.
And we do this show 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC, every Tuesday on twit.tv. Please stop by. Join us live. We'd love it. But if you can't, no fear. On-demand audio and video, always available after the fact at twit.tv/MBW. Or, of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That way you'll get it each and every week. Audio and video available by subscription as well. And it's always and will always be free, free. I'm Leo Laporte. Now it's time to get back to work because you know what? Break time's over.